Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday morning to you. Jaguars Today live at Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey here with you. Where's Fat Tony? He's on assignment, at least temporarily this morning, getting some MRI results today. So we'll see if Fat Tony makes it in for the big show at some point this morning. But we do have a big show coming up for you here. It's fun behind the scenes of Jaguars Today here at Everbank in your Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Joe Fortunato and I were just reminiscing about great Jaguars from days gone by. And Joe, they always say that the thing in radio you shouldn't do is tell people that something's so funny, but we can't tell you what it was on the air.
Nah, I always like that stuff.
I'm kind of in that neighborhood right now because I can't stop laughing as we start the program this morning. So there you have it, Joe Fortunato, ladies and gentlemen, with a dynamite drop-in as usual. Hey, today, got the Prez coming by. The president of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Mark Lamping, is going to stop by in studio coming up in about an hour and 15 minutes this morning. Talk about all the initiatives the Jags have going on off the field and what they've done so far behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, so to speak, over the last 3 years to make your game day experience better, to make this just a more vital, thriving franchise, at least off the field. Everything that's happened, as Shad Khan has said, it's all in place. Now it's time to get the winning done, and but we'll get to all the other stuff with Mark Lamping coming up today. So we look forward to sitting down with the president of your Jacksonville Jaguars. That comes up at 11:15 this morning. Get an OTA report, of course, from John Osier. Just saw the Ozone walking by the studios a few minutes ago on his way out to practice. Probably just getting done stretching and warming up, and probably, very likely, the last day of OTA practices. Don't think they'll practice tomorrow. They typically cancel the last one as long as they get most everything they want to get accomplished done. And I know red zone is an issue for them today. They're going to go out there and work on some more red zone stuff that Gus Bradley mentioned that the other day. Got a little contentious, got a little heated. That's all right. As long as nobody's getting hurt, you can stand to have a little testosterone flying out there on the practice field and getting a little bit of an edge. Mercedes Lewis joined us yesterday, talked about that. We'll hear a little bit from Mercedes later on in the program today. Also, perhaps a player joining us fresh off the practice field to be determined a little bit later on this morning. Interesting read at ESPN.com. I suppose it's interesting. It may just be infuriating to you if you feel differently, but posted yesterday, based on the work of Pro Football Focus, ESPN.com endeavored to set out to rank the talent on all 32 rosters in the National Football League, and your Jacksonville Jaguars not faring well, despite the roster overhaul that's been ongoing now for 3 years at the hands of Dave Caldwell, primarily getting this thing done. And we feel like there's been a big infusion of talent this offseason. I think that's reflected somewhat in the story that was written on ESPN.com, and I'll get to some of the particulars here in just a moment. But if you look back, and look, the wins haven't shown it, but if you look back to when Shad Khan bought the team, the state of the roster, and how many of those guys have survived until now, and it's a paltry handful of them that have done that. The roster's been completely turned over in that time. Now, you know, when you only win 7 games in the Gus Bradley era, it's tough to say that this talent level has dominated anybody at this point in time, but certainly hopes for bigger and better things in 2015. But the ESPN story, again, based on the work primarily of Pro Football Focus, ranking all 32 teams, no surprise that Seattle is at the top, at least not surprising to me. They still have a young roster. They've been to the Super Bowl each of the last 2 years, so they're still poised to continue their run deep into the playoffs and maybe contend for a third consecutive trip to the Super Bowl this year. We know that the Buffalo Bills went to 4. They didn't win any. Seattle's already ahead of the game as far as I'm concerned, winning their first one and coming within a play of maybe winning 2 in a row when it was all said and done. Jags, to cut the suspense, ranked dead last, according to Pro Football Focus and ESPN, in terms of roster talent, just the pure talent on the roster. And had this been done, say, 4 or 5 months ago, there's nowhere to go from 32 but up. but maybe would have cemented their dead last status a little bit harder prior to free agency, because according to Pro Football Focus, they rank both Julius Thomas and Jared Odrick as two of the five best players currently on this roster, sight unseen in terms of anything they've done for the Jacksonville Jaguars, because they haven't done anything for the Jags at this point in time. But Julius Thomas has established himself certainly as a Pro Bowler, and you know the question's been asked of him just a half a billion times, what he expects now that he's no longer playing with Peyton Manning. Look, Peyton Manning's very good, but Julius Thomas, in his own right, is an accomplished guy. And if you look, finally, the NFL Network seems to have caught up with that fact as they unveiled their rankings of players 40 through 49 last night. I think it was 40 through 49 that they did. Is it 40 through 49? I think that's how they did it last night. I think, I want to say it was 45th. Is what Julius Thomas, I don't have it right up in front of me at the moment, but last year unranked, and this is a vote by players in the National Football League, and Julius Thomas went unranked, but his second consecutive dominant statistical season catapulted him way up the rankings this year from the NFL Network. So the Jags, along with Derek Marks, now have two guys, according to at least the players voting on the NFL Network poll, in the top 100 players in the National Football League. Derek Marks also listed by Pro Football Focus as one of the top five current Jacksonville Jaguars. Brandon Linder getting a lot of love. Keep in mind, Pro Football Focus is going to grade you based on how they grade your gameplay from last year, and they were always proponents of Brandon Linder. We heard it from every observer of this team who knew anything about offensive line play that Brandon Linder was the best lineman on this football team last year, best offensive lineman. But, again, you're in a situation here with a roster with two guys that just came in free agency, one guy who's played one season in the National Football League, he's already considered one of your top five players, and then you've got Derek Marks, who was clearly your best player last year, with a torn ACL in the final week of the season, so he's not 100% right now. And the fifth guy on the list is a Pro Football Focus favorite, and that's Ryan Davis. And, you know, which kind of, you look at who are the Jaguars that are most important to the success of this football team? Who are the players that are most important to the success? Ryan Davis is a good player. I think he's important. Is he more important than some of the other guys out there? Well, I guess it doesn't mean they're the best. Blake Bortles is the most important to the team's success, but based on the fact that he was the last-ranked quarterback in the National Football League among qualifying quarterbacks, once you started enough games, played enough snaps last year, you're not going to say that he is one of the five best players on this team, I would hope, based on that level of play last year. I hope he proves himself to be one of the top five guys going forward this year. So anyway, dead last in the rankings at Pro Football Focus and ESPN, your Jacksonville Jaguars with a 32nd spot coming in. And you know, you've got, again, a lot of turnover on the roster with two new guys already in your top five players. We'll go through some of the particulars of that a little bit later on. But it was 45th that Julius Thomas came in ranked on the NFL Network thing. One spot ahead of Elvis Dumervil, one spot behind St. Louis defensive end Robert Quinn, who was probably, I didn't go back and look, probably pretty highly ranked the year before, coming off a monster season with over 20 sacks. I think he had maybe 19 and a half, something in that ballpark. So Derek Marks came in at 76. They released 10 every year. Thomas with 108 catches for 1,282 yards, 24 touchdowns, the key statistic over the last 2 years, that despite missing five games. So can he challenge for double figures here in Jacksonville? We're going to find out. Won't be a surprise if Julius Thomas is one of the most important, impactful players. It'll be a surprise, a shock, really, if he isn't, provided he's healthy this year. Today's question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, kind of goes the other way. And this is a Tony put this question out there to me yesterday, and we decided to save it for a day. But inspired by the playoff run of the Cleveland Cavaliers and one Matthew Dellavedova, and a relative unknown in even NBA circles prior to the playoffs, and certainly getting more high profile as the stakes go up and his gameplay getting better and better. 20 points to add to LeBron's 40 the other night as the Cavaliers take a 2-1 series lead in the NBA Finals over Golden State. Dellavedova certainly hasn't just done it in one game, but he has been a surprising guy on the big stage getting the job done. So we ask you today, the Tom Bush family of dealerships fan feedback spotlight, when it comes to the Jacksonville Jaguars, looking back in your memory banks, who is the most unlikely single game hero for the Jags. Now, there's one answer. There are probably several answers out there of guys who don't play for the Jags. And if you want to think of it that way, you're certainly welcome to. But in my mind, I'm thinking of a few particular performances by Jacksonville Jaguars that kind of stood out like sore thumbs compared to maybe the mediocrity or the lack of impact that these guys had in the rest of their career. But for one bright, shining afternoon or evening, really were the story here in Jacksonville and helped the Jags pull out a victory. So that's what we're looking for today. You can tweet me at MD_1010XL. Tweet Fat Tony. Ask him how he's doing with the MRI. At 1010XL, Fat Tony. He should be in before the show's over with today. And at 1010XL, Tyler, as well. If you want to weigh in on that, you can call the program at 641-1010. You know that already. But you can also use the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at the same number, 641-1010. Who is the most unlikely single-game hero in Jacksonville Jaguars history? So we'll talk about that as we go along a little bit today. Also, as I said, we'll hear from Mercedes Lewis, Johnny O coming up in about 6 or 7 minutes, and Mark Lamping, a little over an hour from now, the president of the Jacksonville Jaguars, joins us in studio to talk about just a myriad of issues going on there. One of the issues going on in the National Football League right now is what's going on with Malcolm Butler up in New England. Kind of an interesting scenario right now, as Malcolm Butler basically has been suspended from voluntary workouts, from OTA workouts for the New England Patriots, because he had the temerity to show up late for the first voluntary session. And it so enraged Bill Belichick, the reports are, that he told Butler, you're not practicing at all during OTAs. You're going to sit down for a couple of weeks. Fortunato gave the tough guy thumbs up to me on that one. I heard Jeff Prosser this morning backing up Belichick on this. Hey, this is lunacy. You kidding me? Malcolm Butler, he doesn't have to be there. This is a voluntary workout, and it seems like the CBA restricts the New England Patriots from doing anything to him as any kind of punishment, and clearly this is punishment. The guy's trying to get better. He's trying to work out. He was trying to travel to New England for OTAs, and his plane got canceled or delayed due to weather, and so he was late. And so people are saying, well, you could have left the day before. Well, what if there's a storm the day before? What if you got delayed 2 days? I mean, at what point does he have to never leave New England? Is it that? Article 21, Section 5A of the Collective Bargaining Agreement says, no club official may indicate to a player that the club's off-season workout program or classroom instruction is not voluntary, or that a player's failure to participate in the workout program or classroom instruction will result in the player's failure to make the club or result in any other adverse consequence affecting his working conditions, blah, blah, blah. It goes on. I would say not being allowed to practice in OTAs is an adverse consequence affecting his working conditions. And I think if he chooses to go the grievance route, Malcolm Butler would have a pretty good case. Chances are Malcolm Butler will dip himself in Patriot juice and declare that Bill Belichick is a wise master, and that he did exactly what he should do and he got exactly what was coming to him, because that seems to be the thing that they do up in New England. But nevertheless, Malcolm Butler, interesting case of what's going on with him right there. You don't notice it because it's OTAs and it's kind of out of the way, but it hit the headlines yesterday. Chris Clemens, of course, not showing up for OTAs here. Maybe Clemens wasn't allowed in after he just didn't show up for the first day. I kind of doubt that. I think Gus would like to have had him along. The question is, will he show up for next week's minicamp? We'll talk about that, among other things, with John Osier coming up here in just a few minutes on Jaguars Today. Hoping to see Fat Tony, hoping he's doing well with his MRI results. In the meantime, Mike Dempsey, Tyler Devitt here with you, and Joe Fortunato is lurking in the wings as well. We'll come back with John Osier from Jaguars.com on this Thursday. Don't forget, Mark Lamping about an hour away. Your question of the day, weigh in on Twitter and a number of other outlets on this one. Who is the unlikeliest or the most unlikely single-game hero for the Jacksonville Jaguars in their franchise history? Share your thoughts with us on that one. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, just getting rolling on a Thursday here. We're on Fat Tony Watch today. Tweet at Fat Tony. Find out what he's up to. At 1010XL, Fat Tony. Wish him well with his MRI results. I want to tell you, the Nikon Days event at Wild West Guns and Gold is coming up. You can stop in for a free Father's Day raffle June 19th through 20th. The drawing will be on June 20th for a free Nikon Pro Staff
three 9x40 rifle scope. Nikon reps will be in the house along with their knowledgeable staff for any questions to advise you on your Nikon needs. Store-wide Father's Day sale going on. You don't want to miss out on the giveaways. Wild West Guns of Gold, your shooting sports headquarters and low price leader guaranteed. And I felt that was a good time. Hold on, let me turn your mic on over here, John. This is a little inside the business.
That was awesome radio.
You like that?
Yeah,
that was good, right?
That was really good stuff.
Rich on the board. Fortunato's supposed to be here helping me out on that kind of stuff.
How big was that Nikon scope?
It was a 9x40.
Yeah, see, I'm looking for 8x40.
So, are you?
Yeah.
That's all, you know, some guys can handle the 9x40, yeah. Some guys can't.
Yeah, so I was.
Apparently, you're one of those guys.
All right, well, you know.
I felt that was good, though, proximity to talk about Wild West when you're coming in.
It was.
Makes you feel right at home.
I can talk Wild West all day, baby.
We're just. The question of the day I'll ask you is, who is the most unlikely Jaguar single game hero? There's a certain kicker who didn't play for the Jaguars is getting a lot of mention, and that's fine. He's an unlikely hero in that circumstance. We understand who that is. But wearing a Jaguar uniform, in your opinion, who is the most unlikely single-game hero?
Well, these are always tricky questions for me because I missed 10 years, so I'm sure there was some game in 03 that I didn't cover that you know, somebody would probably say, what about that guy?
You didn't watch from afar very closely?
I followed it, but you know, you miss certain things, and I would have to say Matthews in 97, was it, against the Giants, week 2, I believe.
Led him to like 47 points, right?
Yeah.
At the time, it was a franchise record for points scored at the time.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank, but his early season game was out here, and the whole story all week, of course, was Brunell's out and Johnson's out, and what are they going to do? And the Giants weren't a bad team, you know. And then they just came out, and you know, they just threw outside passes to Jimmy Smith all day and Keenan and just rolled it up, and it wasn't a factor. But, you know, that stands out. I'm sure other people have better from the 10 years.
That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. They went through a stretch back then where it seemed like no matter who they threw in at quarterback,
yeah,
put up big numbers for them. Right.
Right?
I mean, Rob Johnson had that one start, and he did very well in that one start. Matthews set, you know,
franchise
marks.
Rob wasn't
marks.
Quite as big a surprise because Rob was a talented guy.
Right, and he was expected to
put him in the right system, and he was going to do well, but... You know, Matthew, you know.
But still, Robert Johnson was, what, a fourth-round pick?
Sure, yeah.
Right? So it
wasn't. But it wasn't the shocker that Steve Matthews.
No.
And Jimmy Martin had a couple of games.
He did, right.
Know, where he came in. So, but certainly the one that stands out is Matthews in 97. And, there was the Vaughn Dunbar game in Cleveland, of course, in 95 when Vaughn Dunbar.
See, I think there are a lot of these games out there. In fact, I read your coverage. And I will highlight that later on for the one that stood out to me, so you can figure out at least the era maybe that it came from.
Was that recent? Or?
No, it was not recent coverage. Okay. This is Times Union coverage.
Oh, so it's probably
for Johnny O.
Probably Peter, a pretty bad deadline article by me.
So. It was. I thought it was well written, insightful, and probably
Pulitzer
worthy. Yeah, it probably just put your name on it.
Or
right?
Bianchi.
Oh, what's going on out there today?
You know, it's an OTA practice, and
nothing new.
I got to admit, it's time for mini camp.
You've had enough.
I don't wish my
OTAs.
Life away, but it's time for mini camp and OTAs to wrap up. So, well, it's mini camp practice, and there's no pads, and they're doing what they do, Mike. They're doing what they do.
No Chris Clemens through OTAs. Any expectation for one way or the other what we're going to see next week?
Well, when Gus was asked Tuesday, I believe, he said he didn't know. You know, money starts coming out of his pocket next week if he's not here, so I'd be surprised if he's not here. I'd be here.
Yeah, I would think
I'm
so.
Not, I mean, I've been saying all along, I'm not one to criticize a veteran for not being here, especially a veteran who plays that position. You know, I got a question in the ozone about, you know, why isn't this team leader here? I don't really think Chris is a team leader. I think he's a guy who is a pass rusher, a very important guy. I think if he coveted the team leader role, he probably would be here. But this is a case where this is a veteran who's doing what he's allowed to do under the rules. He knows how to take care of his body. Now, next week, if he's not here, it's a story because he's breaking a rule.
Right.
But right now, he's doing what the rules say he can do.
What do you make of that? Do you see the Malcolm Butler story up in New England? He showed up late for the first day of OTAs, and... he had travel issues. His plane got canceled, something like that, so he was late for the first one. Let him know he was going to be late.
shows up, Belichick's like, yeah, well, go home. Or and whether or not he's, I don't know if he said, he didn't send him home. He's allowing him to work out at the facility, can't practice for 2 weeks, which is a voluntary workout, right? I mean, I could say if you miss a mini camp and you want to go that route, seems like they're
I don't know under the CBA.
You can't do it under the CBA. The question is, will the players' union make a stink if Malcolm Butler doesn't make a stink about it? I think
so. He's banned from a voluntary workout.
Banned from a voluntary workout, right? And to me, in my mind, he's thinking, okay, here's a guy who made the big play in the Super Bowl, right? Oh, now he thinks he can show up late to OTAs, right? And he didn't. And that, whether that's right or wrong,
I'm just curious. I'm banning you or something. You don't have to be at.
You don't have to be here, and you're going to get punished for it. And the CBA clearly outlines that you can't do anything like that with those guys.
Yeah, that's probably one that they probably didn't put the rule in, because it was like, how do you really think of something like that happening?
Right.
You know?
Right.
They're sitting over the bargaining table and saying, okay, what about if a guy wants to come work out and the coach won't let him? And they all laughed.
You know what, though? They actually remember when that happened with Steve McNair in Tennessee?
Right.
He wanted to work out. I think they wanted to trade him. He was in the last year of his deal, and they were afraid if he came and worked out and he got hurt, that would guarantee his salary for the rest of the year. And so they tried to block him from the facility.
Right, and they can't. So,
and they couldn't do
it. Well, and I guess that's why he has to let him work out or practice.
Right.
I mean, or
work out and go to meetings is what he's been doing, but he won't let him on the practice. I guess you could argue that, all right, you could practice in OTAs. You're just not going to get any reps. Right, you could do it that way if you chose to, but it still seems like under the CBA you're not allowed to have any quote adverse consequences for, you know, treating these things as voluntary.
Gotcha. Yeah,
I think it's just Belichick.
Well, yeah,
trying to flex his muscle.
And I guess they consider that a fine would be absolutely you couldn't do it, but can you stop them from?
I don't know, but to me that seems like an adverse consequence if for 2 weeks you cannot practice. Right, I mean, you're trying to make the team.
I would look at it as fantastic, but my work ethic lies.
Right, but then you and I might not show up. We might read a literal reading of the word voluntary, which means I don't have to be here.
No, that's an odd one.
Although work is voluntary to some degree, right? You can choose not to come.
Yeah, just ask Shattuck.
Deal with the consequence. Exactly. Shattuck out there today, by the way.
He is out there.
Right, he's sweating away, grinding away. What else? As we wrap up, what if anything has been the theme of the week? Offense, bad day on Monday, but then bounce back on Tuesday. Has there been something over the course of those 2 days and that you expect today to continue?
I guess. I have such trouble getting real worked up about, first of all, the bad offense practice on Monday and then the bounce back on Tuesday, when in fact it's an OTA. So I don't, you know, there was talk about adversity on Tuesday. It just seemed to me a little bit of an extreme story for June 7th to say they bounced back and had a great day after an awful day Monday. But fine, they had a better day. I think the big thing continues to be with Blake that they keep seeing an overall picture of progress, of him throwing the ball better. In OTAs and even training camp, there are going to be up and down days. There are going to be days we have a good day. There's going to be days we have a bad day. And that's all fine, especially now, because this is when you're installing the offense and you're literally coming out of a meeting in the morning and trying something new for the first time. And you know what? A lot of times when you try something new for the first time, it doesn't work when it's on the field. So those days are sort of expected right now. They continue to like what they see from the velocity on the ball, the spin. He's throwing the ball better. And then when he said Tuesday, he's going back to Tom House for another week after the off season as sort of a checkup, if you will, or a check, you know, just to make sure everything's still going right. That's what they're pleased with, is the overall approach, the overall attention to this out of Blake. And you have to trust that over the long run, you're going to see an upward graph with that.
Did you see the ESPN/Pro Football Focus article ranking the talent base of every team in the National Football League?
I heard about it from some very panicky fans. Yes.
Were they up in arms about the 32nd ranking?
It was a thing.
Who would you guess they ranked the top five players currently on the roster? Who would you guess that Pro Football Focus thinks are the top five players?
I actually did look at it, and Allen Robinson was on that list, I believe.
He was
correct?
Not.
He was not. Okay.
No. You're looking at the wrong list, pal.
I know Linder was on the list.
Yes.
I know Ryan Davis was on the list.
Ryan Davis, because he's a Pro Football Focus pet.
That's a perfect avenue for Ryan Davis. And it's fine. He's a situational player who performs very well in his role.
Correct.
And that sort of analysis loves him, and that's fine. That has a place.
Right. I think they're saying on a per-snap basis, he is
sure.
one of the five most productive guys on the team. The question is, if
and
he
sort of
digress, snaps.
Gus even addressed this a little bit the other day, because he's always asked about Ryan Davis, and I forget exactly what Gus said, but the overarching theme of what he said was, yes, he's a very, very good player in a situation, and you have to be careful of how many other situations you put him into, because you don't want him to start being ineffective in a situation that he's really good at. So I get many, many emails about why don't they play him more. He's very good as an interior pass rusher because he gets speed and he can beat interior guards. When you put him on the outside where he is more of a pure Leo playing against tackles, so far he hasn't been as effective. I don't know that he gets many more reps than he did last year because they still have the same setup they did before. They still have Clemens, they still have Branch, they still have Chris Smith. I don't know that there's a huge rush to take him out of that role, but go ahead. I interrupted you.
Well, no, it's okay. The five guys, Ryan Davis, as you mentioned, Brandon Linder, Julius Thomas and Odrick, who weren't here last year.
Right.
Linder's only going into his second year. And Sendarek Marks, despite the fact. And Sendarek Marks was, I thought, clearly the best player on the team last
right.
year. So not a surprise with that.
I would probably put Robinson maybe over Davis, and just in terms of how many snaps he's going to play, but fine.
Yeah, right. You get that idea. And it also listed a number of starters that they're – and they did this for every team – starters that are in need of an upgrade
mm-hmm.
for or at the position. And Paul Posluszny mentioned – and look, I think if he's healthy, I think Paul's fine. I think the question is going to be, can he stay healthy?
Well, there's that, and there are other guys on the list. I think Jokel was on the list of guys who shouldn't be out, you know, or however they phrased that list of the six guys. You know, the way they grade is not necessarily going to always accurately judge everything that a player is bringing. I don't think Paul is the ideal linebacker in pass coverage, but they were a better run defense with him on the field. I think they're a better overall team and defense when he's around and in the game. And I understand that people aren't nuts about him in coverage, but what he brings on the other I don't think he's one of the six guys that quote-unquote, should be replaced.
Right,
now,
there are other
in
guys.
In the long run, do you want a linebacker who is better in coverage and is more of a three-down player? Perhaps, but sort of like the free safety position, those guys are hard to find, especially a guy who brings the run defense that Paul does.
Yeah, Roy Miller is another guy they listed, which to me, I think Roy Miller's a pretty good player. I mean, look, you could upgrade everybody
yeah.
on a roster, to, you know, in just about unless you had the best player at that position in the league. I don't know. I don't look at Roy Miller and say that's one of the problem
yeah.
areas for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
There are things that Pro Football Focus grades very, very, very well. And there are other areas that are a lot more difficult to grade on a number type scale, on a positive negative type scale. So I don't know. And there's also different guys at the site who grade different games. I don't see Roy Miller as being, when you look at this team, as having been a glaring hole, especially when he's been healthy. Of saying, oh my goodness, that's a spot that they've got to go fix. You know, again, would you rather have five-time Pro Bowlers at a certain position?
Sure.
You know, yeah, I mean, but I don't see any big rush to get Roy Miller off the field.
All right, what's coming up on Jaguars.com for the Ozone?
I believe that Doug Marrone is speaking after practice today, and he hasn't talked during OTAs. We usually don't gear the coverage toward what assistant coach talks, but Doug Marrone, offensive line, I'm anxious to see what he has to say about his guys and sort of going into training camp. So that'll be the emphasis today. And then tomorrow we got a little what we learned.
Are you going bowling with the team? What's going on tomorrow? Are you getting out of town
not that
for
I
the
know.
Weekend?
But I hear Lamping's on at 11:15.
Lamping is coming on at 11:15 today.
It's a good thing I'm not in here because I got some thoughts for Mark.
Do you have some? You got a few bones to pick with the Prez?
No, I do not.
Just to be clear.
I absolutely do not.
Just to be clear.
And
John Osier, big fan of Mark Lamping.
If you play that tape, play the last part.
Big fan.
That's right.
Big fan. All right, Johnny O.
All right, Mike. Thank you, buddy.
Sweat a little bit. There he goes, John Osier. Check him out on Twitter, at, of course, John Osier, and on the digital pages of Jaguars.com. Coming back, we'll tell you about an event going on for Jaguar fans coming up in about 9 days, as a matter of fact. Mark Lamping, as John alluded to, about 40 minutes away. The president of the Jags joins us here in studio. Mike Dempsey in. We'll see if we see Fat Tony, but for the meantime, you got me right here. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, 35 minutes away from Jaguar President Mark Lamping joining us here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey flying solo today. Tyler Devitt with backing vocals. Your question of the day is simply this. You can tweet, post on Facebook, call, text your reply, whatever you like. Who is the most unlikely single game hero in Jacksonville Jaguar history? In honor of Matthew Dellavedova, who has had more than one game, but certainly has made a name for himself after coming out of nowhere, a relative obscurity, at least, in these NBA playoffs, particularly in the finals with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Game four tonight, I will be watching, as I have pretty much all the NBA playoffs up until this point. 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get in. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. If you'd like to fire off a missive that way, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Tyler, and even send one to 1010XL Fat Tony if you so choose. He is out there in the ether somewhere. And the Jaguars Today Facebook page, open for business as it is every day. As I said, Mark Lamping coming up at quarter after the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get into a number of issues from the London experience. Where's the what's the latest on the shipyards project? What new amenities you might have in store for you at the stadium this year? Last year was a big year for that with the big screens, obviously, going in. A lot of new seating options in the stadium, including the on-field seating, the little rail side tables that they put in, which I thought were pretty cool. So we'll see what's new along those lines for Jacksonville Jaguar fans coming up. And also curious to see what, you know, over the course of the last 3 years, what Mark Lamping feels the team may have missed on, if anything, as far as that goes. What initiatives they set out that they're at least not as far along with as they would have liked to have been. They've got something pretty cool coming up this afternoon, the Dream Home deal. We'll talk about that when Mark gets in here. It's the Dream Finders Homes Stadium home team is going to build a home right here in the fan experience area at the stadium, and you'll be able to tour it for the next couple of years. And ultimately, after about 24 months, it's going to be donated to a military veteran. And they'll have a brand new home, well, a two-year-old home, but one that hasn't been lived in, just toured by you, the Jaguar fan. So we'll talk about that. That's ongoing later on this afternoon. Some other initiatives that the Jags have in the works as well. 641-1010 if you'd like to get in. Mercedes Lewis called in yesterday talking about his foundation's youth football camp coming up this weekend. Of course, he's going to be out at the Applebee's tomorrow on South Lane Avenue from 6 until 7 p.m., signing autographs, just kind of doing a meet and greet. They're providing the lunch for his campers. This year, his second camp in Jacksonville. He's done 8 of them. This will be his 8th coming up, as a matter of fact, about a week from now, out in California, back in the old hometown stomping grounds for Mercedes. And we talked a little football with him as well. And with OTAs ongoing, we just asked him what's been going on the last couple weeks. How are things going?
OTAs have been great. You know, obviously, we have a new office coordinator, and so it's been a lot of studying, a lot of, you know, attention to detail, trying to pick up this new offense. You know, it's a lot of volume, but it's going to help us out in the long run. So, you know, everything is going well so far.
Volume has been a catchphrase or a key word that they've used. You know, you hear this a lot with young players, and sometimes when you have a changeover in scheme, we're going to throw as much as we possibly can at the players in the summer, see what they retain, and, you know, just kind of flood them with that info. And you'll be surprised how much a lot of these guys can retain whole cloth. And at least, at the very least, you know, you come back having been exposed to it once you get to training camp, and it should click in a little bit quicker than if you didn't have everything installed over the course of the summer. So it's a lot to put in an entirely new offense, as we talked about the process of that this week with a number of guys. But, better to flood them with it seems to be the way of thinking, and that's what they're doing with the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, just kind of overwhelm them with it. You have the mini camp next week to see what sticks, and then they break, and they'll be back here for training camp, and they'll all be rolling again before you know it. I know mini camp is open a week from today, Thursday. Tony and I will be out there broadcasting field side, the Florida Blue practice field, so stop by and say hello to that. Also talked to Mercedes yesterday and asked him about Blake Bortles' rookie season coming in, what you saw then compared to what you see now. How much more advanced is Blake?
Well, you can totally see a difference, and I think mechanically is where he's made that biggest jump. I mean, his footwork, his poise, I think most importantly, just the learning curve. You know, he's ahead of it. His release is so much better. His ball is coming out a lot smoother, and it's been really good to see.
I'll trust Mercedes Lewis to weigh in on that. Most of the guys you talk to, and it's not anyone particular, it's not your fault when you're out there and you're watching, you're like, what do you notice mechanically different? Well, maybe you notice if a guy is getting rid of the football a little bit quicker, or if his windup, his so-called windup, is shortened, right? The taking the football back and getting rid of it, if there's a loop in that delivery and you can cut that down, maybe you notice something like that. Sometimes it's a lot more subtle than that. But from talking to Mercedes, he seemed to really be impressed with what he's done to tighten things up, get the ball out quicker, get the ball to you on time quicker. And I think that's part of it. We talked about this with Ryan O'Halloran yesterday. It's fine if you want to throw a wobbler. If it gets to you at the right spot at the right time in stride consistently. Peyton Manning's not exactly thrown the Warren Moon ball his entire career. Warren Moon had one of the tightest spirals known to mankind. Peyton Manning, sometimes he'll rip one in there. A lot of times he'll float one in there, and it's got a lot of wobble to it. But the thing that happens is it delivers, it gets to the target on time, generally right where he wants it. And if you can do that consistently, guys can catch a wobbly ball. That's not the issue. The issue is, does that hold you back from delivering it on time and accurately consistently? And I think it does for most quarterbacks. So if you tighten up the mechanics, it's going to help you, I think, sustain that and be more consistent in getting that football where you want it to be. And when you've thrown 17 interceptions in 13 starts last year, you got to be better in that category. Mercedes also talked about, just fan expectations a little bit. I think the number one thing, if fans could ask anyone questions, how many games are we going to win? Are we going to be competitive this year? And I asked him how he would respond to fans about that.
This is what I can tell you. I mean, I can't really make predictions, but, we're really competitive now. I'm not just blowing smoke. I mean, I feel like top to bottom, I don't know if we've ever been this competitive in practice at this point while we're out here in short. I think we're going to surprise a lot of people.
Well, I think, here hopeful, locally, I think we're hopeful that it won't be a shock and a surprise because we expected better last year. It probably will be surprising to some degree simply because not everybody is willing to drink the Kool-Aid. And after another year, after last year coming off a 4-win season, we all thought, oh, come on, what's the over-under? I got asked this yesterday. I went on Pro Football Talk, the radio portion or the online radio show with Mike Florio, and he said, what is a fair over-under for this Jacksonville Jaguar team? And I said it's a difficult thing to pin down because last year I think it was around 4.5, and we thought that's crazy. It's going to easily be over. They won 4 games the year before. They're going to be much better. We see the improvements on the roster. Then they went out and won 3 games. Now, they were more competitive consistently last year. I mean, the first half of the 2013 season was arguably the worst half of football, worst half of a season of football than any team's ever played in terms of being competitive. I said arguably. Don't cite me chapter and verse on the 76 Tampa Bay Bucks, but you get the idea. I went with 5.5. I would take the over, but how confident are you in that after you've seen this team win 9 games over the last 3 years? So when he says surprise some people, I mean, still nationally, as much as you're starting to see stories that recognize the roster building that's gone on, and you'll hear reporters and writers, you'll read say that they're going about it the right way. Dave Caldwell is doing it the right way. He's building through the draft. He's going with youth. He's signing young guys to free agent contracts, and he's trying to, you know, methodically go about his business, build the key areas. You draft a quarterback, you draft a left tackle, you try to draft your pass rushing defensive end. Yet, as we highlighted earlier today, Pro Football Focus still ranks the roster as the worst in the National Football League. So, yeah, if the Jags are, quite frankly, if they're a 500 team this year, I think that'd be an eye-opening surprise to a lot of people around the National Football League. And I think what it would do is it would put them on the short list of teams the following year to jump from out of the playoffs to into the playoffs on just about everybody's rankings. But that's a long time to wait. Let's not push 2015 to the rearview mirror just yet. Coming up, we've got this date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL. 25 minutes from now, Jaguar President Mark Lamping will join us here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Also scheduled to join us, and a player to be determined coming off the practice field. We'll see if we can make that happen about 50 minutes from right now. Mike Dempsey, Tyler Devitt here with you. Joe Fortunato is lurking. It's Jaguars today. We're live at Everbank, coming back with this date in football history on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you this week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. We start with birthdays in 1903. Hall of Fame fullback Ernie Nevers, born on this date in 1903 on June the 11th. He passed away in 1976 at the age of 73. Played only 5 years in the National Football League, but was a five-time first-team All-Pro and inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I believe in the inaugural class of 1963. Ernie Nevers played for the Chicago Cardinals. He also played for Duluth. Duluth had a team in the NFL. If you can name the mascot of the Duluth team, I will give you a nickel. Are you ready? In 3, 2, 1. If you said Eskimos, I owe you a nickel. The Duluth Eskimos and the Chicago Cardinals for Ernie Nevers. Born on this date in 1913. I think you've heard of this guy. The trophy is named after him. Vince Lombardi, NFL head coach with the Green Bay Packers, led the Pack to 3 straight and 5 total NFL championships in a 7-year span, including winning the first 2 Super Bowls following the 1966 and 67 seasons. Vince Lombardi passed away in 1970 at the age of 57 and was inducted the very next year into the Hall of Fame, 1971. So Vince Lombardi, born in this state. Born on this date, some more recent guys, 1954, happy 61st to Gary Fensick, NFL defensive back with the Chicago Bears, of course, a Super Bowl champ in 1985, 2-time Pro Bowler, 1-time first-team All-Pro. But in my house, Gary Fensick is best known for this.
It's Gary here, and I'm Mr. Clean. They call me Hitman. Don't know what they mean. They throw it long and watch me run. I'm on my man, one-on-one. Buddies, guys, cover it down to the bone. That's why they call it the 46 zone. Come on, everybody, let's scream and yell. We're going to do the shuffle, then ring your bell.
It sounded so much more intimidating the first time around. It must have been the 80s. I don't know. Gary Fensick, think about this. He says, buddies, guys, cover it down to the bone. That's why they call us the 46 zone. Hey, you guys cover it down to the bone. What should they call you? How about the 46 zone? Makes absolutely no sense, as most of that song doesn't. But nevertheless, so one of the verses of the Super Bowl shuffle. Born on this date, let's not bury the lead. I guess we had, what's bigger than Vince Lombardi? Arguably, well, maybe not bigger than the guy the trophy's named after, but born on this date in 1956. Happy 59th to Joe Montana, NFL quarterback with 4 Super Bowl rings, 8-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first-team All-Pro, elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 2000. That is this date in football history, brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're there on Gate Parkway. If you're in the market for a family dentist or you need some cosmetic work done, call 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, Mike, you talked about Malcolm Butler, the Super Bowl MVP from last year, who's been in Belichick's doghouse for the last couple weeks. The Patriots also back in the news this morning. They cut tight end Tim Wright from the team. Wright played only 1 season in New England. He was traded there from Tampa in late August last year. The Patriots gave up 6-time Pro Bowler Logan Mankins to get Wright in that trade. And my favorite story from yesterday, Mike, Antonio Cromartie recently said that he did not believe Richard Sherman was worthy of being the league's best corner. That riled up Cromartie's former teammate, Kellen Winslow Jr., who fired off a series of tweets, one of which said that Cromartie is one of the biggest posers Winslow has ever seen or played against, and also said that he was probably the last guy he would take down an alley with him. Winslow also tweeted that Cromartie has bad feet and is afraid to jam receivers. Well, here comes the good part of the story. Well, Cromartie replied with a tweet equivalent to a mic drop. Cromartie tweeted, "You wish you were as good as your dad. Have you been to Target lately?" And in case you don't know that story, for those of you out there, a woman who walked by Winslow's car last year in January while in a Target parking lot called police and said he was allegedly masturbating. Winslow said Winslow was never charged for that, but he was caught with a few bags of synthetic marijuana. Back to the Twitter war, Winslow had nothing else to say but pulled the, "I'll fight you, bro. When do you want to fight?" So he had nothing else to say to the guy. Cromartie killed him in that Twitter war, Mike.
"Yeah, we should get in the ring. Let me know. I'll whoop that ass," said Kellen Winslow Jr., which may be the first he's whooped since going back to his days at the U.
Hey, don't forget, he's a soldier.
Well, we all know he's a soldier, and that's fine. And look, honestly, that whole thing, the soldier thing, was just an ill-timed thing. Didn't that come, I want to say, shortly after 9/11? I mean, we're going back a while. Was it that much removed from that, or... Or maybe it was, you know, in the aftermath. Well, obviously, we've had a lot of troops over in the Middle East, and people blew that, I thought, way out of proportion. You know, guys talking that lingo all the time about being a soldier, and, you know, there are similarities to it. It's not life and death, but in terms of preparation and, you know, you got the whole, you know, being in a foxhole with a bunch of guys. Well, you're being in a locker room. You're in a locker room with a bunch of guys. The consequences are nowhere close to being the same, but there is... that whole aspect of bonding, that whole soldier thing, was way overblown as far as that goes. I don't know if Kellen Winslow is friends with Richard Sherman, or maybe he just has an axe to grind with Cromartie. They were teammates with the Jets for a little while, so who knows? He didn't go to his Tyler. He didn't go to his parenting skills, did he? I mean, Cromartie's known for having. Children with a variety of women.
What's the count at now? Is he at 9 children with 8 women? Is that what it's at?
Well, I don't. I think is it? That seems like it's in the ballpark. I don't, you know, keep up with the complete lineage of the Cromartie family, but he was most. You know, it was brought to light mostly by someone asking him to name all his kids. Remember that a couple of years ago, and he couldn't. He couldn't give you all of their names, and. That's
I do have an update. I have an update for you. This
you have an update on the kid count?
Absolutely. Cromartie? As of last week, he has 12 kids.
Oh.
4 with his wife and 8 others with 7 different women.
Well, congratulations. I hope they're all well taken care of and loved appropriately. So there you have it. I hope, 12's a lot of names to remember, Tyler. You know, I from time to time, you know, I'll remember a face and I don't remember a name. So maybe we shouldn't blame Antonio Cromartie for not knowing who all his children are, as far as that goes. I got this invite, and I'll pass it along to you from the Bold City Brigade St. Augustine chapter. They tweeted at me, said, "Want to invite me?" Well, thank you very much. And our listeners to the Bold City Brigade St. Augustine off-season OTAs going on at Ancient City Brewing that will take place a week from Saturday, the 20th of June at 7 o'clock at Ancient City Brewing. I'm told craft beer will be on hand, food trucks, special guests. Maybe that means Tyler Devitt's going.
Hey-o.
And the Bold City Brigade St. Augustine Panty Ball, which is always a treat, and a circle up is rumored to possibly break out as well.
What's a panty ball? It sounds interesting. I don't want to speculate.
You should look into that. It's one of their traditions down there in St. Augustine. So check that out. You should go. You should be one of the special guests of honor. You should go and represent Jaguars today. I will be working that night, as I do every Saturday night.
And you said that's next Saturday? That's next Saturday?
Next Saturday. A week from Saturday at 7 o'clock. I will just be going on the air at 7 o'clock.
But, I'll be there.
Your invite, will you? Now, don't make promises if you're not going to be there.
I'll be there.
Ancient City Brewing, Tyler Devitt says he's going to come represent. You got to wear the T-shirt down there.
The Jaguars
hashtag,
today.
I'll bring
a few extras.
Hydrate.
I'll try and find a few extra shirts to bring down there, too.
That's a good call. See Donna Murphy. She's the keeper of the apparel, is what I'm told, as far as that goes. You still have plenty of time to weigh in if you want to on the Fan Feedback Spotlight, which today asks you, thanks to the Tom Bush family of dealerships, Who is the most unlikely single game hero in Jacksonville Jaguar history? One on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line said one that we've gotten a bunch in already today. Morton Anderson, clearly the number one answer. That's from Percy and Duval. That's accurate. You can say that certainly that was unexpected and unlikely for a guy that good. I'm looking more for a guy who was wearing the uniform of the Jacksonville Jaguars. But if you want to go the Morton Anderson route, you're certainly welcome to do that as well. John Osier threw Steve Matthews out there. I will throw you Alvis Whitted out there. If you go back to 2000 when they played the Dallas Cowboys, Alvis Whitted was subbing in for an injured Jimmy Smith that week and really had never done much of anything to remark on at that point. But Jimmy Smith, I'm reading Johnny O's story from Irving, Texas, Dateline Irving, Texas, Monday, October 30th, 2000. Jimmy Smith said he was in Alvis Whitted's ear all weekend long, telling him to stay poised, stay calm, play like you do in practice. And then on the final, what turned out to be the final play in the opening drive of overtime, Mark Brunell hit him with a quick out pass, and he turned it to the outside and took it 37 yards to the house for a catch-and-run touchdown. Jags win 23-17 in Texas Stadium. That was one that jumped to mind for me. You can weigh in with yours. Tweet me at MD_1010XL, and you can also post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Jaguar President Mark Lamping scheduled to join us coming up in about 5 or 6 minutes, so stick around for that. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Tyler, I hope you cleared this with Bold City Cap that we're using Hail to the Chief. This is Cap's official introduction music. You know, we've only used it once, but I figure we could break it out for the president of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Mr. Mark Lamping. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. It's always fun to be around when the players are here and out on the practice field, so it almost feels like we're getting close to the start of the season.
You look like you're getting a little sunshine out there today.
It was hot. No, I normally don't go out to practice because there's no reason for me to be out there, obviously, but no, today's looks like it's going to be the last practice of this phase of the training, and I just wanted to get out there and get a look at what's going on.
I would grill you on what's happening out there, but we know that there's a veil of secrecy
that
shrouds OTAs, and that's okay.
Yeah,
we've come to understand that. You know what? As long as that helps them spring some surprises on the rest of the National Football League, we're all behind that.
I guess that's a reason for it. I have no idea.
I guess it is. Tell us, and now I know there's a lot of things you do have an idea about. I want to start with something that's going on today, and tell us what you can about the stadium home that's going to be introduced today, Dreamfinders Homes. There's going to be a press conference at 2:30, and just tell us about the initiative.
No, it's a great concept. You know, Dreamfinders Home, they're based here, but they do business, you know, not only here, they're a big builder, around Nocatee and other parts of the area, but they're a national home builder. You know, they do a lot of work in Austin, Texas, a lot in Denver, and they've supported the Jaguars. They're actually the official home field builder of the Jaguars, and you know, everybody knows that we're trying to focus on doing everything we can to make a trip to Everbank Field unique and different and special for our fans. And you know, they came up with this idea of actually building a home, a model home, in the south end zone to be able to use it for hospitality in and around games, and also to be able to use it away from Jaguar games. So I think it's going to be something that's very interesting, certainly unique. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, trying to convince our fans to leave home and come to Everbank Field, and I guess this is the answer for everybody. You actually build a home,
come to home
at the stadium.
There you go. And are you going to have big screens in it is the next question, and yeah, the full cable hookup to watch. That'd be kind of interesting. And in 2 years, I guess 24 months from now, it'll be donated, the home will, to a military veteran's family.
Yeah, cool. It's a really cool concept on so many different levels, but, you know, this is a long-term partnership between the Jaguars and Dreamfinders, and every 2 years, this home will be rebuilt, and the home that's here will be moved to another location and donated to a military vet.
You guys have a lot going on. There are things like this. We get press releases all the time. Jags in the community, you know, what the players are up to and doing. So there are a lot of things behind the scenes that we don't always talk about. We talk about the X's and O's and the on-field stuff. This weekend, Tyson Alawalu and Telvin Smith are at Edgewood Bakery. They've got the grand, I guess, reopening celebration going on this weekend as well. So yet another connection with the team. U.S. Assure Clubs is a new sponsor for all the clubs here. I mean, things in that department seem to be going pretty well.
Yeah, thanks to the support of, you know, local companies and, obviously led by Everbank and, you know, not only, you know, the bank itself, but, you know, the Clements family and the Hicks family and, you know, some of the first families of of Jacksonville, and the same thing with U.S. Assured with the Petways that former owners and of the Jaguars partners with Wayne and DeLarson. The partnership that we've built with them through U.S. Assured is great for the Jaguars. It's great for U.S. Assured, and you know, to be able to get support from leading local companies, that's really gratifying to us, because we have to be really strong at home first. And then as we try to expand beyond that and try to bring other companies either regionally or nationally or even internationally into what we're trying to do here with the Jaguars, a lot of times the first question is, well, what's happening locally? And for us to be able to point to, you know, the leading local companies that they believe in what we're doing and part of our mission here, you know, that helps us in so many different ways.
You talk about the desires. We talk here with Jaguar President Mark Lamping to enhance the game day experience, make people want to leave their home, come down here, get something unique. Last year was a big year in that regard, obviously, with the scoreboards going in, all the different seating options, the pools, all this. What is new for 2015? It's going to be hard to top last year in terms of a big rollout, but what do you have new in store for this year?
Well, I don't think we're going to be able to top what we did last year, but you know, we have this commitment that, you know, the best stadiums are those stadiums that continue to evolve and give fans something new to look forward to each and every year. And we know we need to do that if we're going to be successful in trying to extend the useful life of Everbank Field. So this year we're introducing a couple new products. We're introducing really an exciting product. It's called the Terrace Suite Chalet. So we're actually at both the eastern and western end of the Terrace Suites. There are some elevated seats that currently exist. We're actually removing those seats. We're going to replace them in the center of the Terrace Suite. And then we're building two outdoor chalets that are like outdoor suites that are also part of the Terrace Suite. So a very unique product, not something that, you know, anyone has ever offered before, and we're excited about that. We've had very positive response locally from the kickoff tables that we put in the clubs last year. We put about 40 kickoff tables in. Those are all sold out with a waiting list, and we're adding additional club table inventory actually in front of the Bud Light Zone. So that's going to be a very interesting place, a much different feel and vibe than what's happening in the clubs. And, you know, on top of everything we did last year, in fact, you know, yesterday in Barcelona, Spain, at a worldwide stadium conference, Everbank actually received an award for the Stadium of the Year as it relates to premium seating. So, you know, what's happening here in Jacksonville, you know, obviously everybody here locally knows about it, but, you know, we're beginning to get some notoriety, you know, not only nationally, but internationally in this case.
And the selling out of that premium seating has allowed you to keep the general seating prices pretty stable for the typical fan out there, too, which I know has been a big point for you guys.
Well, we have to. I mean, we have to do two things. We have to raise our average ticket price, and we have to keep our ticket prices affordable, because the community isn't that big that we can afford to exclude any meaningful portion of the community from being able to afford to go to Jaguar games. So, you know, the performance on the field has not been what our fans, you know, obviously expect. And it's really hard to raise ticket prices on the heels of, you know, quite honestly, pretty poor seasons. So what we've tried to do is to introduce new products, new premium-priced products, as a way to raise our average ticket price without having to implement a across-the-board price increase. And it's been successful so far. I mean, we've got a long, long way to go. We still have, you know, amongst the lowest-priced tickets in the National Football League, and that's great if you're a fan. It's not necessarily great if you're trying to run a financially stable and sustainable business. So we need to fix it, but we got to fix it in a way that's responsible, you know, to our fans' needs.
We all want to see more wins on the field. That's not something that you can control, obviously, but you've had a lot of impact on all the other stuff that goes on. What is there something, a single initiative or project that you're most proud of in your last 3 years here?
Well, I'm not sure it's a product, but I'm really proud, you know, not only for the Jaguars organization, but for the community, that people have stopped talking about the seats that are tarped, that people have stopped talking about games being blacked out, and people have stopped talking about the team moving from Jacksonville to Los Angeles, because we know those three topics were very prominent prior to Shad purchasing the team. And you know, as a result of some of the decisions we've made, as a result of the financial commitment that SHOT has made, and as a result of some of the programs we've implemented, particularly as it relates to trying to upgrade the fan experience, people have just simply stopped talking about those things that are so negative.
Is there something that you look back and say, man, we really wanted to be further along in this particular area, something that you have your hands on that maybe is still to come, or you just feel like up until now you haven't met your own personal goals for?
Well, that's pretty much everything.
high standards, right?
Well,
shoot for the moon.
Well, you know, you have to set lofty goals, or else you're probably going to settle with something less than what you can achieve. So, you know, we have a long, long way to go. You know, it's not like, this was the most stable NFL franchise here in Jacksonville, and you know, everybody knew that, coming in, and that's one of the draws for a lot of us to come here. I mean, if we can figure out a way to be able to build an organization and build a relationship with this community that results in a really, really stable NFL team that everybody's very proud of, not only here in the community but across the league, then that's a special accomplishment for everybody. And, you know, I've been a part of some very historic organizations, and, you know, my time, for example, with the St. Louis Cardinals, our responsibility there was to build on the success that our predecessors have achieved. And to go after that next world championship and to get that next great stadium complete. The assignment here in Jacksonville is different. It's do it for the first time. And there's not many times you have the opportunity to be part of something that can be as special as what we think can happen here. And, you know, it keeps us fired up about coming to work every day. But more importantly, it keeps us pushing to do things faster and faster and faster. And that's the one thing that if there's one thing that I think people will hopefully take away from the way we're trying to conduct our business, we're trying to do it at a very aggressive pace, and delays are our enemy.
Jaguar President Mark Lamping, our guest here on Jaguars Today. Mark, knowing what you just said about setting your goals high, you're not going to be satisfied until there's probably a waiting list for every seat out there in the stadium. But in terms of just the way ticket sales have been pacing in 2015, things going pretty well as far as your expectations?
Good. Yeah, things are going well. The market continues to respond. The development of the regional market continues to be positive, although we have a lot more work to do there. But, you know, as we sit here today, we're running a little bit ahead of what our projections were. I'm confident that we're going to have more season tickets sold at the start of this season than we did at the start of last season. And coming off, you know, what wasn't a very successful campaign on the field, we feel really good about that. You know, but again, you know, we're not going to be satisfied until, you know, we have so much demand for our tickets that we have the ability to raise ticket prices and get it where it needs to be.
Has the London initiative lived up to what you've expected out of it, you know, and you hope to get out of it up to this point?
It's done everything we had hoped and more. The strategy behind London was very, very simple. We needed to find new revenue streams that were either untapped here in Jacksonville or that were coming from outside Jacksonville. And London was part of that strategy, as are a lot of other things we're trying to do. And the reason we're doing that is to try to stabilize the team here. So by playing games in London, it actually makes us a stronger NFL franchise here in Jacksonville, Florida. And we've been able to go about it in a way that is hand-in-hand with the city, hand-in-hand with the local business leaders. And it's been a real positive, not only in terms of what it's done for the Jaguars, but what it started to do for the community, both in terms of job creation as well as tourism.
Can you give us an example of that? I mean, are we seeing increased numbers of people coming over because of this connection? Or are we seeing jobs being created now here locally?
Well, absolutely. I think the chamber would be a better spokesperson for that than you know.
Sure.
The hack that works for the local football team. But no, there's certainly been well over 500 jobs that have been created here directly from meetings and connections that have been developed in London during Jaguar weeks.
I believe the word Shad Khan used, I spoke to him during Super Bowl week about this, as a number of us did, was eager when we asked him about, would you like to extend the London initiative of playing one game a year? What is the timetable, if you know what that is, in terms of applying for that, testing the waters, you know, talking with the league to see if beyond the initial four-year commitment, the Jags can continue to do that?
Well, we're halfway through our four-year commitment. It's worked really well. It's meeting all the objectives that we had set out, and we've let the National Football League know that we are anxious to continue this as part of what we do with the Jaguars, and The results have been very positive. We sometimes bore people, I'm sure, when we sit down and we talk about local revenue and all the stuff that puts people to sleep, because what they're really interested in is, tell me about the football team and when you're going to start winning more football games. But fundamentally, there are some business things that we have to attend to. And growing our local revenue is the single most important thing we have to do. And over the last 2 years, thanks to a lot of great work and wonderful support from the community and from our fans, our local revenue has grown 25% each year for the last 2 years. And that is really significant in this environment, whether you're here in Jacksonville or anyplace else in the National Football League. And London has contributed to that, but it's not the only thing that is going well.
Jaguars President Mark Lamping here with us, our guest on Jaguars Today this morning. Mark, you look at these kind of off-season State of the Jaguar press conferences that you guys have been having, and we talk here amongst ourselves, and Tony and I feel that now when you see a picture of something that is Shad Khan's vision, eventually that's going to come to pass. We saw the picture of the scoreboards, the artist's rendering of what that might happen. Before you knew it, boom, it became a reality. This year, people were blown away with the Shipyard project, the vision for the Shipyard project. What kind of update can you give us on where things stand with that?
Well, the reasons behind our interest in the Shipyards has not changed at all. You know, it is part of our plan to stabilize Jacksonville as an NFL city. And the reason that we're interested in the Shipyards is that we think it's important that the front door to the sports complex be welcoming. We think it's important that when people come visit the sports complex, that they have more things to do before the events that they're attending, not just Everbank Field, but the arena as well as the baseball grounds, and they have more things to do after, basically extend their stay here in Jacksonville. And we believe that the more people that work downtown, the more people that live downtown, and the more people that visit downtown, ultimately that will mean good things for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's why we're interested in it. Now, there have been several failed attempts to develop the Shipyards. We are not in the development business, although we have a vested interest in making sure that it gets done. That's why we ended up making the proposal that we did. You know, we're committed to doing it. The reasons behind it have nothing to do with anything in terms of who the mayor of Jacksonville or who what the makeup of the city council may be at any point in time. So it's an important project for us. And as I mentioned earlier, timetable is really important to us. You know, my boss is not patient. Our problems are such that we can't kick the can down the road and worry about it. Oh, we'll get to that 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years from now. And boy, it's going to be great if we commit to the Shipyards. And before you know it, we'll be 10 years from now. And you look back and say, wow, it's been a great 10 years of development. That timetable doesn't work for us. It may work for others, but it doesn't work for us. So, you know, we're anxious to get going on the Shipyards. We're committed to the project, and I think the sooner we get it done, the better it will be for downtown Jacksonville and, by extension, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I would agree with those points. Are you optimistic that it will come to fruition eventually on a timetable that it will suit you?
I'm very optimistic because, again, you know, we think that there are totally aligned interests between what we're trying to do and what many of the community leaders believe is in the best interest of this region as it relates to the development of downtown. And Mayor-elect Curry has been very open to us. He's been communicating with us, and, you know, he's expressed his support. So, you know, we're like everything else. You know, we always want something to already be done, not hoping to get it done over the course of the next few months.
Do you get recognized when you're out? Do people, like, bump into you and say, hey, I know who you are. You're Mark Lamping. Do you get that around town?
Occasionally. Yeah, it's usually for, hey, you know, you walked out of the restaurant without paying the bill last night.
I doubt that.
No, it's good. This is a great community, but it's more from the fact that, not where I work, but the fact that we've lived here for 3 years, and
sure.
And people are very, very open in this community, and I've gotten to meet a lot of people, and you know, many of them don't even know what I do for a living. They just know you're the guy that lives down the street.
For the ones who do, that this guy down the street happens to have a pretty big place in the Jaguar hierarchy. What's the big topic that gets brought up with you by the average fan out there or man on the street?
When are you guys going to start winning some football games?
It always boils down to that, doesn't it? Right? Doesn't matter what the.
Well, that's you know, I'm a fan. Like, you know,
sure.
The first thing I do in the morning is check and see what the Cardinals did last night. You know. I don't live in St. Louis. I'm not part of the organization, but that's how I follow
sure.
that organization. And football fans are no different. So, you know, and with us, as I've said many times, there's a lot of things we need to get done. There's a lot of things that need to be on a priority list. But I can tell you, number one, two, three, four, and five at the top of our priority list is to build a better football team and start winning more football games.
One, two, three, four, and five. Those are the first 5 weeks of the season. We'll get W's in all of those right now. That's my prediction, Mark. I'm not hanging that one on you. We'll see how that comes to pass. Good to chat with you, man. I mean, we're all very impressed with what the organization has done behind the scenes to create the environment for when that winning comes, just to have the perfect synchronicity of fan experience, team, coaching staff, organization. It's all ready, and obviously the winning needs to come, and we hope it does this year.
Well, there's certainly a lot of optimism, a lot of confidence in the building, but there is also a building sense of urgency in terms of showing real progress. And I think that's a good thing because, you know, one thing about Shad Khan is he's a realist. He's a very patient man. But he also, once he gives people the resources to get things done and sets reasonable expectations, he expects that people are accountable and meet those expectations.
Well, we saw, I mean, he, after a year, he realized Mike Mularkey wasn't the guy. He thought he could take this football team where it needed to go, made that decision quickly. He has been incredibly patient with the development of the roster and all that stuff that goes with it. But I'm sure he wants to win as badly as anybody out there wearing teal.
I think he wants to win more than anyone out there wearing teal. I know that for a fact.
He's got a pretty big investment in the winning here in Jacksonville.
Well, he's got a big emotional investment. Forget about the financial investment, because I don't think Shad views that in any way. When he thinks about the Jaguar, he's not thinking about his investment. He's thinking about the emotional commitment he has to this community, and I think the responsibility that he feels to this community. And, you know, like everybody else, you want to be a part of a winner. You know, whether you're a fan or whether you're an owner or whether you're a president of a club, you want to be part of a winner. And, you know, I'm confident that we're gonna get there. And I know we've made a lot more progress than is reflected in our wins and losses.
He is Jaguar President Mark Lamping. Mark, we appreciate the time today. Continued success working towards the vision of having a winning franchise, a stable winning franchise for all NFL eternity right here in Jacksonville. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there he goes. Mark Lamping, the president of your Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll be back with a look at the fan feedback spotlight in a minute. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we motor along here, Jaguars Today. I don't know if we're going to get a player in off the field or not. Now, I'll put it this way. If Gus Bradley, and I don't know if he did this or not, but everyone's treating it as written in stone fact that there will be no OTA practice tomorrow. So if Gus Bradley, let's say, cut him loose for a three-day weekend, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of hurried showers and trips to the airport or the car or wherever to get out of Dodge or to start their three-day weekend with a little downtime after 3 weeks of OTA. So don't know if we'll get a guy in here in the final few minutes. If we do, great. If we don't, we march along here, Jaguars Today. Thanks to Mark Lamping, the president of your Jacksonville Jaguars. He's been on 1010 plenty of times. First time he sat down with us here in the Jaguars Today studio, simply because it's probably the first time we requested him to come on by. See him in the hallway all the time. And, you know, when we first started doing the show, what, about 14 months ago, something like that, here every day at Everbank, you know, I was on my best behavior as far as that goes. So I'd see Mark Lamping, I call him Mr. Lamping all the time. Till finally, I don't know if he was pretending, but he seemed like he was mad at me. He said, "Enough. If you don't call me Mark, you won't be coming back." I said, "Okay, Mark, happy to do that. Thanks for having me." And away we go. If you missed the interview or want to hear any parts of it again, you can go to 1010XL.com. It'll be in the on-demand section, posted rather soon. And also, we'll tweet that out, the link to that. And, of course, you can always get the podcast of the entire show on Jaguars.com. You can get the entire show archived on 1010XL.com on demand as well. So plenty of ways to catch up with that today. Fan Feedback Spotlight, which is brought to you daily by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships, asked you who's the most unlikely, who's the unlikeliest, however you want to put it, unlikeliest single-game hero that the Jacksonville Jaguars have ever had. I wanted to put in my 140 characters or less, excluding Morton Anderson, because, I mean, think about it. He was a hero for the Jags. It was extremely unlikely that he would miss a chip shot field goal and send the Jaguars careening into the playoffs in 1996. But I didn't put that restriction in there. We got a lot of votes, including from Muti the Mailman on Twitter, that Morton Anderson, hashtag Jaguars today, was your guy. Got some votes from Mike Thomas, Cody Rainwater, the first one to submit that, hashtagging it as well, Jaguars today. Use that. Me, I'm a softy. Tony won't read your tweets unless you hashtag it. But Mike Thomas with the Hail Mary catch from David Garrard to beat the Houston Texans. And one of the best press box scenes of all time. The whole game, the Texans, who were nothing special, were just, this is not even a game. It's not even a contest. It was just a practice for them. And to get stunned of the look on their faces after running their mouths for 3 hours. Don't think that doesn't happen. Not supposed to be cheering in the press box. Every contingent that travels wants the team they're traveling with, whether they work for the team or not, to win the game. Because makes for a better locker room afterwards. It's easier to get stories. You got happier guys. You're going to talk more. It's going to be a better plane ride home. It's all those things. So all that's going on. Sean Belasso, S. Belasso on Twitter, went with James Stewart with five TDs in one game early on. That was against Philadelphia, so that was really unlikely. While five TDs is unlikely, I wouldn't think that Little Man was the unlikeliest single-game hero. He was a good player back in the day. What else do we have here? Derek Landry. Oh, that was a nice one. Derek Landry, 2008 wild card game at Pittsburgh with a sack, an interception, and a fumble recovery. And he used to play a little golf with Derek Landry back in the day. Good dude. Gabbert versus the Colts says football underscore rave. Had a number. Somebody on Facebook, I believe, said any game that Gabbert won would be the most unlikeliest performance by the Jacksonville Jaguars. But he did beat Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts during Luck's rookie season. So another vote for Derek Landry in from Cody at Lord of the Jaguar on Twitter. Leading Mojo on the big kickoff return and with the interception sack and game-winning fumble recovery. So a busy day there for Derek Landry. Duval Doom went with, always thought it was a combo of Jeff Logman sack and strip and Desmond Howard's TD catch for the first win in franchise history. Christoph going with Mike Thomas and the Hail Mary. Gabe Gonzalez at Gonzo Gabe on Twitter. Montel Owens in the 53-yard fake punt play against the Houston Texans. Certainly in that regard, to have that's an unlikely kind of moment or play for Montel Owens. Montel Owens, I want to say three-time Pro Bowler, though, as a special teamer. Certainly at least a couple times. I want to say three, and so I will. I'll say three-time Pro Bowler, whether I'm right or not, but I think I'm right on that one. BCB Phoenix, Bold City Brigade out there weighing in with Mike Thomas as well. Let's see who else I've got here. Switch it over to the Facebook page. Jamie Clark said the guy from the Texans that batted the ball to Mike Thomas for the game-winning touchdown. Was that Mercedes? Did Mercedes get a hand on that near the goal line? I thought that's what it was. It was like the ball was kind of batted forward, but Mercedes was going for it. He was in the mix. And the ball got batted right to Mike Thomas, and he ran it in. Let's see. Tristan Morehouse went with Will Blackman with the quadfecta with the fumble for TD. Got a few of those. That was Joe Fortunato's first thought today as well. Joe Juden went with Jordan Todman on Thursday Night Football. Rob Johnson for Eric Squires. The one good game he had was good enough for Buffalo to give us their first rounder for him. While I will agree with the return on that investment, Rob Johnson was thought to be maybe one day, if they developed him, the heir apparent to Mark Brunell. And while, yeah, he wasn't a first-round pick, I think Rob Johnson, as John Osier talked about earlier, wasn't a nobody. And, yes, he only started the one game. Steve Matthews, certainly a lot more shocking. Jeremiah Statt, weighed in with that one as well. At the time, I want to say 47 points against the Giants, which was a franchise record for the Jacksonville Jaguars at the time. And on it goes. So thanks for weighing in on that. Brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking Jaguar fans daily what drives you. All right, coming up, XL Primetime in just a few minutes. Fat Tony, hopefully we'll get the word from him that things went well with his MRI results, and we'll see him out there on the golf course sooner rather than later. You see us out at OTA, or minicamp, I should say, practice next Thursday. We'll be broadcasting a week from today, so stop by and say hello to us as we've got that going on. Don't forget Bold City Brigade a week from Saturday at Ancient City Brewing down in St. Augustine for their own OTAs. That's 7 o'clock, open invitation to all you Jaguar fans out there who want to take that in. Thanks to Johnny O for stopping in today. And as you could tell, OTAs winding down. not a ton of storylines out there unless something happened on the practice field that we're unaware of at this moment right now. It's just, I think everyone's ready to get them over with and remain healthy at that point in time. Going into minicamp next week, get through that, and then take your break and come back ready to hit the ground running for training camp. Thanks to Jaguar President Mark Lamping for stopping by again. Check out 1010XL.com on demand and Jaguars.com, the podcast section, if you want to hear that interview once again in podcast format, or if you want to stream it, however you want to do that, it's available to you, as all of our shows are on a daily basis. So that'll do it for us today. Appreciate you tuning in and sticking around with us. Coming up tomorrow, Fat Tony will be back with me and will lead you into a very terrific Jaguar-centric weekend. I guess Country Fest coming to town over the next few days. So for Joe Fortunato, for Johnny O, for Mark Lamping and Tyler Devitt, I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime coming up next right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.